No translation must ever replace God's Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. That's the issue I want to present this evening, because there are some that are doing this. Beware of accepting extreme King James positions. After 400 years of its existence, we must not blacken the good name of our King James Bible by accepting the extremist position of discarding God's original words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek and replace them with man's translated words of English in our King James Bible. We're not diminishing our King James Bible, but we're exalting God's words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, above any translation. This woman, Gail Ripperger, is tearing apart our Bible, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Peter Ruckman's tearing away the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. Those are God's words. They're trashing them. And we should be upset about that. The King James is a translation of God's Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. The only accurate one we have. The only true and faithful one we have. A radical revolutionary KJV Bible movement. During last year, 2010, I discovered that there's a very well-organized, yet deceptive, revolutionary movement that seeks to replace God's Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek Bible words with the English KJV. This movement deifies the English words of the King James Bible as inspired of God and God-breathed. The leader of this heretical revolution is a lying woman named Gail Ripperger. What do I mean by a lying woman? I'm going to see a little bit later. We don't depreciate and downplay the King James Bible, but we must never downplay God's Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. You say, well, I don't know Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. That's fine. You don't have to know it. But you must know that that's the source of our Bible. God gave us those words. Man translated those words, but man did not give us those original words. God did. You throw away God's words, what are we left with? Man's imagination, even though it's a good translation, but it's coming from God's Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. God's inspired Bible and man's translation of it. Number one, God breathed out His words very clearly by the miracle of verbal plenary inspiration. He did this in three languages, Hebrew, a little Aramaic, and Greek. Those are the only languages God spoke. No English, Spanish, French, German, Swahili, nothing. Just Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Number two, man, not God, man has translated God's breathed out Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words into accurate English words to the King James Bible. We stand for the King James Bible, accurate, true, and faithful translation, but not God-breathed revelation. That's heresy, terrible heresy. Let Peter Ruckman have that heresy and their followers. Gail Ripperger have her heresy and all her followers. But we must never buy into that. The third thing, Gail Ripperger believes man's words, King James Bible, replace God's Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. It's a serious heresy, must be refuted clearly. Translated by man, not inspired by God. Serious heresy to refer to the King James Bible as being inspired by God or God-breathed. These terms must be reserved exclusively for the original preserved Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words underlying the King James Bible, not for the English words of the King James Bible. Yes, those are God's words. In my book, Defending the King James Bible, I call it God's words kept intact in English, and that's what they are. Because they're the proper Hebrew words, the proper Aramaic words, the proper Greek words, accurately translated God's words kept intact in the English language. We must hold firmly, as our Dean Burgon Society does, that the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words exclusively were given by inspiration of God. Exclusively God breathed. Exclusively inspired of God. Exclusively verbally inspired. Exclusively inspired. Because of this, I believe that people must go to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words underlying the King James Bible. They wish to glean the greatest amount of information about the meanings that lie within these words that God Himself gave to us. We must never throw out these words, as Gail Ripperger and her followers would have us to do. If you don't know Hebrew or Greek, get a good lexicon. Get a strong words. See what those words mean. See that they chose at least one good word, one of the possible words, the three or four or five other meanings that give a complete understanding of the words that God has given to us. What does the King James Bible's translation of 2 Timothy 3:16 mean? By verbal plenary inspiration, God breathed out Theonosos, the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words of the Old and the New Testaments. This miraculous inspiration happened only once, just once. It was not repeated in the King James Bible, nor can it be repeated in any other language translation, past, present, or future. 2 Timothy 3:16 refers only to this once-for-all inspiration by God of those original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, not to the King James Bible or to any other translation. Many times, the followers of Peter Ruckman and Gail Ripperjiff quoted 2 Timothy 3:16 to prove that the King James Bible was given by inspiration of God, because the verse refers to all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Some of the Ruckmanites call me up and say, "Do you believe the King James Bible is Scripture?" Yes, I use that word for the King James Bible. But that's not the meaning in this verse of Scripture. That's not the meaning of this verse. They use that to say, therefore, if this is Scripture, and this English word is Scripture, forget the Greek, that means the King James Bible is part of Scripture. It's given by inspiration of God. This is false exegesis, false interpretation, and heretical. The word Scripture does not refer to translations. It refers exclusively to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words of the Old and New Testaments. It is serious heresy to refer Scripture here to any translation. Here's 2 Timothy 3:16. In English, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In Greek, basagraphe, theonistos, all Scripture God breathed. Kai ophelimos, pros didaskalian, pros elenchon, pros enarthosoin, pros paideian, tein dekaisune. That's the Greek. Pasa graphe, all Scripture. Graphe is a Greek word for Scripture here. What does graphe mean in the Greek New Testament? The Greek words in the first part of 2 Timothy, pasa, that's each or every or all. Graphe, that's Scripture, referring to the Hebrew and Aramaic Old Testament, the Greek New Testament. Theonistos is an adjective from theos plus pneo, to breathe, and it means God breathed or breathed out by God. Does not come from the noun pneuma or pneuma, as Gail Ripperjiff falsely claims. In other words, God breathed out his original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. These words have been preserved in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words underlying the King James Bible. We believe in verbal plenary preservation of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, unlike some of our fundamentalist brethren. Now, the Greek noun graphe occurs 51 times in the Greek New Testament. Translated as either Scripture or Scriptures. King James Bible, in every one of the 51 places, graphe refers exclusively to either the original Old Testament Hebrew words or by extension to the original New Testament Greek words. Graphe never refers to a Bible translation. Never. Including the English King James Bible or a translation in any other language of the world. Therefore, to interpret graphe as referring to a translation is serious biblical heresy and false biblical exegesis. What are these 51 uses of graphe? Matthew 21:42, never read the Scriptures, an Old Testament quotation from Hebrew. Matthew 22:29, not knowing the Scripture, Hebrew quotation. Matthew 26:54, Scriptures must be fulfilled, Hebrew quotation. Matthew 26:56, Scriptures of the prophets, a Hebrew quotation. Mark 12:10, read the Scripture, the stone, a Scripture quotation from Hebrew Scripture. Mark 12:24, know not the Scriptures, Hebrew quotation. Mark 14:49, the Scriptures must be fulfilled, Hebrew quotation. Mark 15:28, Scripture was fulfilled. Luke 4:21, Scripture fulfilled in your ears. Old Testament Hebrew quotation. Luke 24:27, all the Scriptures. Another quotation from Hebrew. 24 of Luke, 32, he opened us the Scriptures. Graphe, all these are graphe, 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 the Scripture. Always a quotation from an Old Testament Hebrew text, not a translation. Luke 24:45, understand the Scriptures. Believe the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Scripture has said, had not the Scripture said, the Scripture cannot be broken. Scripture may be fulfilled. Scripture might be fulfilled. Was fulfilled, might be fulfilled, should be fulfilled. All these verses, all up to 22, all quotations from Old Testament. 23-32, John 19:37, another Scripture says, knew not the Scripture, this Scripture must be fulfilled, plates of the Scripture, began of the same Scripture, out of the Scripture, search the Scriptures, mighty in the Scriptures, showing the Scriptures, Holy Scriptures in Romans 1:2. Here we are, another whole sheet of graphe. Romans 4:3. What said the Scripture? The Scripture said, the Scripture said, the Scripture said, comfort of the Scriptures, the Scripture of the prophets, according to the Scriptures, and the sepulchre, and the Scripture hath concluded. What saith the Scripture? The Scripture saith. All these are direct quotations from the Old Testament Hebrew text. No translation is referred to as Scripture, graphe. So important it is we know what God said, not what man's translated of what he said. That's fine to have the word Scripture, that's fine. But you go down to the bare knuckles of what graphe means, it never means translation. Always a quotation of God's Hebrew Old Testament or Greek New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture again, that which is a quotation. According to the Scripture was fulfilled. Scriptures in vain containing the Scripture, prophecy of the Scripture. 2 Peter 1:20, prophecy of the Scripture. All these. 2 Peter 3:15 is an interesting Scripture verse where Peter, the Apostle Peter, refers to some of Paul's letters. Account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, notice he's called a beloved brother, even though Paul rebuked him when he was wrong, didn't he? Book of Galatians. But they got together again. We may differ with our fellow Christians, and we differ with some people, but we still love them. The Lord Jesus says, herewith you know all men are my disciples if they have love one to another. And so we have love one to another. But Peter got over his antipathy to Paul. Our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them, of things in which are some things hard to understand, which they are unlearned and unstable, rest or twist, as they also do the other Scriptures, other graphe. So the New Testament of Paul's letters also are graphe, are the Scriptures of the Greek text, as well as the Hebrew text of the Old Testament. The background and disqualifications of Gail Ripinger and the King James Bible's revolutionary heretic. Call her the revolutionary heretic, that's what she is. The importance of Gail Ripinger's background. It's important to see the background of Gail Ripinger, the leader of this revolutionary heresy. She teaches that the English King James Bible, by the way, my wife and I used to be friends with Gail Ripinger. We certainly did until she lied to us and we began to investigate further, and one lie leads to another lie leads to another lie. So I don't think we're on friendly terms anymore. If she's saved and love her in the Lord, by this will all men know that you're my disciples and have love one to another, but you don't have to agree with them. We love our brethren, but we don't have to agree with our brethren. She teaches the English King James Bible has totally replaced God's Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. She cannot be trusted in any matter dealing with the Bible, because of her scriptural disqualifications and also because of her lying to Mrs. Wade and me about her 3 marriages and 2 divorces and lie about many other matters. See the 4 books we're going to mention at the very end of the message. We were friends with her. We heard that she was divorced and remarried, and so my wife and I got on the telephone and called Gail Ripinger. Friends? We were, we thought. My wife asked 2 or 3 times, and I listened, I heard, I was a witness. Gail, I understand you've been divorced. Oh, no. She says, is this your only marriage? Yes. You mean this husband, Mr. Ripinger, is the only husband you've ever had? Yes. Yes. 2 or 3 times, my wife asked me, lying through her teeth. I went to the Ohio State where the marriages were performed, the divorces were performed, and I got documentation and paid a little price for it, but I got the proper documentation of her divorces. It's her disqualifications. Not only did she lie from it, here's some other things. Background and disqualifications of Gail Ripinger, the KJB's revolutionary heretic. It's important to see the background of Gail Ripinger, the leader of the revolutionary heresy. She teaches the English King James Bible words have totally replaced God's Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. She cannot be trusted in any matter dealing with the Bible, both because of her scriptural disqualifications, also because of her lying to Mrs. Wade and me about her 3 marriages and 2 divorces, and lying about other matters, as we see. 3 major areas that disqualify Gail Ripinger. Number, from her present ministry, teaching men theological and biblical subjects. I tell you, some of these Baptist preachers, they fall down and worship the woman. Whoever heard of her? What's the matter with these Baptists? Where's their brains? Number 1, She's under a very clear scriptural ban against teaching or usurping authority over men. Number two, she married three different men while her former husbands were living, divorced two of them, and lied about this to Mrs. Wade and me. Three, she fails to meet marital standards for biblical leaders. First, here's number one, biblical ban on replicative teaching men. 1 Timothy 2:11, that the women learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Gail Ripinger is disobedient to the clear command of the Lord through Paul to Pastor Timothy. Serious sin on her part. She's definitely not a woman who is learning in subjection to anyone. Certainly not to men who are well-trained, Bible-believing, godly pastors who differ with her strongly. She thinks she is always dogmatically right, even though she is seriously wrong. So, usurping authority over men. Number two, moral ban on replicative teaching. Number one, Mark 10:11-12. Lord Jesus himself said, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. A woman shall put away her husband and be married to another. She committeth adultery. Gail Ripinger has committed adultery. The Lord Jesus said it. I didn't make up these words. Romans 7:2-3. The woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. If her husband be dead, she is loosed from the law for her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. God calls her an adulteress, disqualifying morally from teaching men or women either one. Number three, a standard ban as a Christian leader. 1 Timothy 3:1-2. The office of a bishop, that's pastor, bishop, elder, one of his qualifications, he must be blameless, the husband of one wife. In other words, if a pastor is going to be a pastor, as I read this scripture, he's got to be the husband of one wife. First, he's got to be a husband. He's got to be married. He's got to be married only once. If the wife dies, that's a different thing, but he can remarry. But I mean, the husband of one wife, unless the wife has died. That's a qualification. Titus 1:5-6. Again, pastors, bishops, elders, husband of one wife. You don't have two or three wives and divorce one or marry another. This is not true. 1 Timothy 3:12. The deacons, also husbands of one wife. No divorce or marriage or divorce, just husbands of one wife. 1 Timothy 5:9. This is talking about a widow. This is a woman now. Be taken into the number. Let not a widow be taken, under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. So as standard as a Christian leader in the New Testament, if she's going to be a woman preacher, which she is, talking, preaching to men, if the man has got to be the husband of one wife, she's got to be the wife of one husband. This is logical and reasonable. She misses that standard. Her revolutionary heresy is, in summary, revolutionary heretical view held by Gail Ripinger and her followers is that in 1611, when the King James Bible was published, contrary to all truth and biblical doctrine, God performed a second and final divine inspiration. Because of this so-called heretical and non-existent verbal plenary inspiration of the King James Bible, she also teaches the King James Bible supplants and replaces the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words given by God himself. She considers God's words to be inferior to man's words. You get that? Inferior. This is revolutionary heresy. She teaches that we have a final verbal plenary inspiration of the English King James Bible's words, and that therefore the King James Bible supersedes and replaces the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that God himself gave us. I repeat it, revolutionary heresy. Here's some quotes from Gail Ripinger that show she believes, contrary to the Bible, that man's English King James Bible words have replaced God's Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek Bible words. She says in her brochure, advertising hazardous materials, as follows. The book demonstrates that the Greek text from the United Bible Society, the Trinitarian Bible Society, failed to reach the perfection of the Holy Bible. She means the King James Bible. The TBS text is the text, the words underlying our King James Bible. She says those Greek words failed to reach the perfection of the King James Bible. That's what she's talking about. Where God's word shall not pass away. What Gail Ripinger is doing in her view is the King James Bible, I call it replacement theology. She totally replaces the Old and New Testament, original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words with the English King James Bible translation, words of men. This is replacement, serious revolutionary heresy. Then under hazardous material, she warns against, notice, the two weak legs of Greek and Hebrew. My friends, Hebrew and Greek that God gave us are not weak legs. He gave them to us, inspired, inerrant, infallible Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. She calls them weak legs, exalting that King James Bible, English, or any translation above God's words. They're legs given to us by the everlasting, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, triune God Himself. They were the legs used by the King James translators. These legs are stronger than any translation in the world, including the King James Bible, and all the other so-called pure Bibles that Gale Ripplinger wrongly believes were given by verbal plenary inspiration. There's another quote. Two weak legs on which we stand waits Dean Burgon Society. That's not my society. It's the society of the people. I happened to organize it 33 years ago, but waits, I don't think she likes me too well. Waits Dean Burgon Society articles, they say, quote, for an exhaustive study of any of the words or verses of the Bible, we urge the student to return directly to the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text, traditional received Greek text, rather than to any other translation for help, unquote. That's an excellent quotation from us. Now, Gale Ripplinger calls God's own traditional Masoretic Hebrew and traditional received Greek text as two weak legs. In this way, she is clearly replacing God's own Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words with various translations made by men. This is pure heresy. When Bible translators go all over the world, we urge them to base their translations on the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. If they don't know this language too well, start with the King James Bible, which has based its translation on the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, and go from there, and check with concordances and with lexicons and dictionaries. But the basis must be the proper text of Scripture. Now, here's another question. Wait, I wonder who that guy is. Wait now promotes H.D. Williams' weak book to get rid of our Holy Bible's inspiration. Wait promoted H.D. Williams' book entitled The Miracle of Biblical Inspiration. My friends, this is not a weak book. It's indeed a very strong book. Dr. Williams did an excellent job on that book. It answers Ripplinger's heresy of King James Bible inspiration. I think we have it on the book table back there. 130-page book on the miracle of biblical inspiration by Dr. Williams is a scholarly and biblically sound definition of true inspiration of the Bible. And there's a sound refutation of Ripplinger's heresy. I urge my readers to get it. Swear the truth. BFD 3392, $15 plus shipping. Here's another quotation from Gale Ripplinger. The man in the pew confidence, man in the pew's confidence in his Bible is broken as he is given the impression that he holds an inferior product. She's saying that to hold the King James Bible inferior product, mere cracked birdseed when compared to the golden eggs laid by the College of Cardinals. My friends, she's trying to say because we hold the basic Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, something like the College of Cardinals, trying to make us Roman Catholics. No, my friends. If you want to put it mildly, now some of you may not agree with this, but you must hold, if you believe the King James Bible, you must hold it to be inferior to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words on which it was based. You've got to conclude that man's words are always inferior to God's words. That doesn't mean we don't stand for it. It doesn't mean that we don't hold to it as a grand translation, but she does not agree that the translation of the King James Bible are inferior to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words from which they are translated. She wrongly believes man's translation words like the King James Bible are superior to God's original words. Three books back in the book table. I'd urge you to get. The one, a warning on Gale Ripplinger's heresy. That's the first book that we got out. It's an answer to her book against me, a different thing. She heard that we found out that she'd been married to three different men and divorced from those men. She ran off, I don't know how many pages, 160 pages, whatever. So I answered word for word and page for page all of what she's been teaching along these lines. A second book that's back there, which I think if you're interested in the subject, you ought to get. It's called Who is Gale Ripplinger? Solid documentation of Gale Ripplinger's many, many lies. This book, Alethea O'Brien. She wrote this book, I mean documentation. Everything from her so-called professorship at a college up in Ohio, when she was not even an associate professor, just an assistant professor. Very lies as to how many years she taught there. All kinds of lies, divorces, remarriages, nailed down. Lying woman. So it was that once she lied to Miss Wade and me as far as her marriages, that's all she wrote. And she never apologized, never admitted it. We asked her, my wife, two or three times. I don't know why people lie about their marriages. I mean, it's one thing to talk about divorce and remarriage. That's not the issue. The issue here is lying concerning them. Another book by Dr. Bill Stringer. It's back in the book table. You ought to get it. A Female Theologian and Her Queen Bee Syndrome. The Messianic Claims of Gail Ripperger. I mean, she is Mrs. Big. Mrs. Three Times Mrs. Big. Three marriages. And she exalts herself above just about everything that you could ever think about. Interesting book Dr. Stringer's written. Just about a week ago, he came out with another book, Gail Ripperger's Occult Connections. I mean, this woman is into the occult, satanic, quotations, Kabbalah, and everything else about it. Satanic, occult connections. If you're interested in getting that, it's back there and you can see it. Well, this ends up our Dean Burgon Society evening meeting. I still have 3 minutes. And it rings. And I'm going to take it. The man sitting back there told me I could take it. 3 minutes, 4 minutes. I'm just going to reiterate. My mother used to quote a Latin phrase I like very much. Repetitio mater studiorum est. Repetitio mater studiorum est. Repetition is the mother of learning. And so she used to also say it's like walking down the street and one of your shoes is labeled Pete, the other shoe is labeled repeat. Pete, repeat. Pete, all right. What I'm saying is here, we have a problem. It's not a personal attack on Mrs. Ripperger, although I can't convince myself that lying is good. I can't do that. But the point of it is, it's a great principle. If our Dean Burgon Society has taken the pains to stand for our King James Bible as the only true, accurate, and reliable English translation in existence from the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, if that's our Dean Burgon Society's principles for 33 years, we must not tarnish that opinion of our King James Bible, throw it out, and take this other position, which says the English is way, way up high. Remember that question the man asked earlier, yesterday, I believe, about the Apocrypha? Well, as Dr. Brown mentioned, the Apocrypha was in, and 25 or 30 years later, they took it out, but to say that God breathed out the Apocrypha with all the errors in it, you can lie if you want to, and certain things, you can have prayers for the dead, it's all right, and you can commit suicide, no problem. All kinds of heresies in the Apocrypha, which was in our King James Bible 1611. If you exalt men's translations above the words of God, it's serious, serious business. And to throw away, she scolds people who dare to take a Hebrew lexicon or a Greek lexicon and find out what those Greek words mean in more detail. She scolds it. Don't you dare touch it. She blasts away in that big book that she's written recently. And we believe we've got our King James Bible. I preach from the King James Bible every single Lord's Day, morning and afternoon, and on Thursday night. And we go verse by verse preaching the Word of God. I refer to some of the words that are underlying it, the Greek words underlying it. And I explain some of the things, but we've got to never destroy the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that are the root and the foundation of our King James Bible. It should be the base of all different translations, whatever they may be. Let's close with the word of God. Let me get this one more ring. When's it going to come? Okay, that's music. Sweet music. It means to be quiet. Let's close with a word of prayer, shall we? Our God and Father, we do ask Thee for clarity. The subject of our King James Bible, these people that come and try to exalt it above that which Thou hast given it to us for, making it something that it is not. We thank Thee for it. We're glad we can read it. We're glad for our defined King James Bible, where we can define uncommon words. Dear Father, help us never to take away Thy precious words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, even though some of us don't understand any of them. Help us never to take away the foundation that our King James Bible translators used to give us the only faithful, accurate translation of the English language today. Guide us and direct us as we go for refreshments afterwards, and may our fellowship be sweet with the things of the Lord. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Now, one more thing before we go, as we always do, we turn to the very last page of your bulletins. You all have bulletins? And gather around, all the way around the big auditorium.
Thank you. 2 days. We thank Thee for the privilege that we've had of exalting Thy precious holy words, the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, underlying our King James Bible. In our 400th celebration of the book that You have used more than any other in the ministry of soul winning, church building, missions around the world. Lord, we pray a special blessing upon all of the truth that has gone forth from this pulpit. We pray, Lord, as it goes out across the United States, around the world, over the internet, Lord, as tapes and CDs go out, we pray, O Lord, that You will continue to bless and use it for Your honor and glory, and that it might exalt Your word above Your name. O Lord, we pray for each and every pastor, family, individual that's gathered here today. We pray, O Lord, that You will minister to their needs, that You will bless them for being here, that Your hand of safety will guide them as they depart from this place, that You'll minister to their needs, whether they are going by car, by plane, or however they travel, that Your hand of mercy will be upon them, that You will enable them to reach their destiny. We pray, O Lord, for each and every church and each individual here, suit a special blessing upon them, and we'll give Thee all the praise until we meet next year. In Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. First one over to the dining hall gets the water ice and ice cream. There'll be some left for all of you. Go on over.